This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
Are we going?
There's a drive!
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive!
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field!
I've been hearing that a lot.
You visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman.
Brad Underwood.
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Gee.
Let's go for a little ride.
Well, good evening. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise is in studio. Finally found time to come in and say hi to us. Hans D is here for who you got at the bottom of the hour. Last week, I was just all in the mood to raise the glass.
Are you not feeling it?
Well, it is Friday, so I guess in that sense, it's worth doing. So grab them out of the fridge. It's Friday. You made it through another week. Maybe, and we're going to talk about it, maybe Illinois can turn the tide and get a victory tomorrow. Here's a reason. Illinois is going to be playing probably Baylor and Duke as a top 10 team in basketball, and the basketball season is less than a month away. Here's to that. That's pure. Oh, yeah. Have a happy Halloween weekend. By the way, you can always reach us on the College of Aces text line. College of Aces, where there more than meets the eye. Find out more at aces.illinois.edu. Let's break down a little bit of this college football game, boys. Derek, Trevor, and I, Illinois and Purdue. Quickly, as we go through this, Trevor, you made the mention that Illinois has won in West Lafayette lately and Purdue has won in Champaign lately. And so I brought it up, and here's the last few results. Illinois won in Indiana last year. Purdue won in Illinois in 18. They also won in Indiana and Illinois in 17 and 16. Illinois won in Indiana in 15. Purdue won in Illinois in 14. Illinois won in Indiana in 13. And Purdue won in Illinois in 12. So you're right. It's just been kind of going back and forth with the visiting team winning. That might not be a trend that we like going into tomorrow's game. The overall series for Illinois and Purdue stands at this. Illinois leads the all-time series, 45 wins, 44 losses, 6 ties. Now, in the trophy series, in other words, playing for the cannon, Purdue actually leads that 36-30-2.
It just means more.
It means more. That is correct. To get the cannon. I know Lovie talks about that a lot. I know these guys want to know that they're holding on to the trophy. And, of course, that cannon is here and in Champaign. And I know the guys would like to hold on to that. All right, Illinois-Purdue, kickoff 11 a.m. tomorrow, Big Ten Network. I think James Laurinaitis will be, again, the color guy for the game on BTN. What are you guys expecting? I'm asking everybody on the text line, what do they expect out of this Illinois football team tomorrow after what happened at Wisconsin? Derek, you kind of said what you kind of were expecting. I'll go to Trevor now. Trevor, what are you looking at? I know you said you were just not really angry last week, just more disappointed. So what do you think? I mean, is this a team that can bounce back?
Yeah, the feeling for me last week was, as I told you guys when Jay was in here, it was like a feeling of sinking back into the familiarity of how bad that feels, because I can remember 8 Wisconsin-Illinois games in the last 12 years that were like that. And so for me, it was just like, well, here we go again. Instead of I wasn't throwing the remote against the wall because I've done it so many times in those situations that it's not worth it to me anymore. I don't feel the pain. You know, it's too familiar of a pain.
I get it.
I think we're overreacting a little bit, and I think we're overreacting overall a little bit just because in this crazy, weird, shortened season. You don't really know what's going to happen.
Right.
And it's hard to take too much away from 1 week. Like, yes, Rutgers is better. They also got 7 turnovers for Michigan State in the first week. And I don't know that they're so much better that we then need to start going, well, they could give Indiana a run for the... Indiana just beat a top 10 team, okay? I don't think
Great
Rutgers
point.
Is going to give Indiana a run for their money. And so in a similar way, yes, that was really bad, and I think it was so bad that it supersedes the opponent.
Fair.
It was worse than just, well, that's Wisconsin for you, because it was really, really bad. But Wisconsin is a good team.
Yep.
Now we find out they have a good quarterback. And so I just think there's a little bit of a correction to be made towards the mean or the median of whatever this is, a little bit of regression in a positive way. I don't know if that translates into a win, but I'm not expecting, like I said, in 2017 when it was 35-0 Purdue at halftime.
Right.
I'm hoping / expecting that not to be the case.
That's a good point, Trevor, about overreacting, Derek. And maybe there's a chance that Wisconsin's just that good. Maybe there's a chance that Jack Cohn was actually holding that program back, even though he had a pretty good season last year. And wouldn't it be nice to say your program was held back and you won 10 games and went to a Rose Bowl? But maybe Graham Mertz is that good. Maybe he's the next coming. You know, I mean, every college in America wanted him, and he chose Wisconsin. Is there a chance that we're maybe overreacting to that game, and at the end we look back and think, man, you know what? Wisconsin's just that much better than everybody. Illinois showed the next week against Purdue that they're kind of where we thought they were, which is pretty good.
There's a chance. Okay. There's a chance that you lay an egg week one, and that doesn't apply to what you're going to be the rest of the entire season.
Fair.
Now, there's also a chance that Graham Mertz is pretty darn good. If there was intramural football at Wisconsin, there's about 10 to 15 quarterbacks who could make those throws to wide-open tight ends in the back of the end zone.
What a great call.
And what I'm just saying, it's just how bad Illinois looked, and just it goes back. A lot of it falls on coaching, I think.
Yeah.
And how ill-prepared Illinois was. And when you have a cover two defense and a linebacker stays one line off the line of scrimmage and your tight ends or your safeties are essentially in the end zone and a tight end runs down the seam, unoccupied, like no one in his vicinity, and you just throw him the football for a touchdown. There's a lot of teams in college football, a lot of players, a lot of guys who can whip it around on a yard that's not a college game who can make those throws.
That's fair.
So I think that's what you're worried about. And again, I talked about it in the first hour, just the overall feel now it's turned already on Illinois football, back to negative, back to just not having positive vibes around the program. And it does go beyond week one to where the bowl game, you lost the game. You were just happy to be at a bowl game.
No doubt.
The Northwestern game too, though.
That was frustrating.
You've now lost 4 in a row. You don't want to make it 5. If you lose to Purdue, especially if Purdue comes in and handles you, then you're really concerned. But I do think that they can turn around. I think they will play with a lot of emotion and a chip on their shoulder. We'll see if they can get it done.
I'd be concerned if you lose this game.
Yeah, I would be,
in terms of just spiraling out of, because Minnesota's good, I think. Well,
yes.
Their defense isn't good. We saw that against Michigan. But I have confidence they'll bounce back, and Fleck's been great against Lovey. I think you'd handle Rutgers, but then you're going into it like, okay, well, what if they're 0-3 and they're facing a 2-game road trip out to New Jersey and then out to Nebraska? Like, I don't feel great about that.
I would focus all my focus then back on tailgating. let me ask you this. Isn't it amazing how fragile a program can be? Because Illinois won those, in a weird way, they played so well in that second half against Michigan. Then they upset Wisconsin. They go on this 4-game winning streak. And then they played really well against Iowa. Like,
I thought that was the best game of that streak.
I did too.
Even though they lost.
Take out the Wisconsin game, which is the biggest upset of the year.
But that was a one-quarter upset. Because they were down 24-10 at the end of the third quarter against Wisconsin.
Against a really good Iowa team last year, you went toe-to-toe with them. You beat them in rushing. You beat Iowa at what they do, essentially, and lost that game. And then all of a sudden, Northwestern comes in and kind of a weird, fluky, I don't want to call it fluky, you just couldn't stop the run. They just literally, they look like a Class A high school football team. Nothing against Class A high school football teams, because I, you know, went to a Class A school. But when they just line up and run right over you, the really good ones do that. And that's what Northwestern looked like against Illinois. And then, like you said, Derek, you go to that bowl game, you're happy to be there, don't get me wrong. But then a quarterback that I had never heard of goes crazy on you and throws it all over the field. Then you come into this year and you're thinking, all right, well, listen, this is an experienced team. This is athletically or on paper the best team that Lovey's had at Illinois. And then you just go, you know, you just don't do anything against Wisconsin. It's just amazing to me how fragile it can be and how it can just turn on a dime.
Yeah, and I think that why it is a little exaggerated, and we hit on this earlier in the week, the fact that Rutgers, I know, as Trevor said, got seven turnovers against a brutal Michigan State team, but they looked like a well-put-together team. Like, Shiano made an impact.
I agree.
And you look at Indiana, obviously pulling a big upset. You look at Nebraska, who,
yep,
I know the final score in Columbus wasn't pretty, but
it was tied,
was it tied
at
halftime?
It was tight, at least. I don't know if it was tied, but
Scott
it was
Frost
tight.
Had his team ready to play against a team that's clearly better than them on paper. So I just think, in comparison to some of those other programs that you look as peers in the conference, why were they ready to play? And Illinois, you know, they lost the game. You go to Wisconsin, lose the game, but just looking so out of
how you lost it
and just blown off the field, that part of it doesn't sit well with you.
You just did it.
Scott Frost!
All right, Jake Hansen, we don't know if he's going to play. Of course.
When you mentioned, by the way, that Northwestern game and that Cal game, it felt like a big presence of that defense that was missing was Hansen, which he was out.
Good call.
Now, I try not to get too meatball fanny the other way, where, like, just because Hansen is out, it's okay to give up 45 points to a 6-win team. But he does make a difference, right?
Well, part of being in your fifth year as a college coach at a program, you should start to be developing depth, right? And now we saw it. I mean, in Lovey's defense and in Miles Smith's defense, we saw it last week because Tyreek Barnes came on and had the best game of anybody on Illinois' squad. I mean, he was forced the fumble, scored the touchdown. He did some other good things. So Kalen Tolson, if a guy like Jake Hansen can't play, and boy, did he take a shot last week, and we haven't heard anything up to now. I don't ever want to assume anything or try to predict anything, but it seems like we would have heard by now that he was going to play. So I certainly hope we turn on the TV tomorrow and 35's out there making tackles. But if Hansen's not in the game, now you turn, you know, Tyreek Barnes comes in, you got Kalen Tolson, you got Milo Eifler. You still have a pretty good, and Delano Ware, who can come down and play that as well. You still have a pretty good linebacker unit, Derek, to be able to help stop this Horvath and this Purdue attack.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about the Illinois run defense after what they showed against Wisconsin. Tyreek Barnes was the best player on that defense, and he wasn't even really projected to get a whole lot of snaps when Hansen was in there. Of course, if Jake Hansen is not, I wouldn't even say 100%, but even just able to be on the football field, you want him to play because he's a playmaker, because he can fly around, make tackles, create turnovers. And yeah, when talking about at the end of last year, he wasn't in that Northwestern game either. But he shouldn't be the difference between beating a Northwestern team that averaged 12 points a game last year and letting them run for 380 yards. So that's where there's not even really that much of a balance there. That just shouldn't happen, whether Jake Hansen's on the field or not. But yeah.
He's not Brian Bosworth in the 80s.
Right.
80s reference.
I mean, it'd be like saying, well, Roquan Smith was out today and the Bears give up like 52 instead of 10 points. Okay, yeah, he's good, but he's not that big of a difference.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And the way that he looked in that injury, it's just hard to imagine. Yeah. You know that they didn't report that it was a concussion. It seemed like that was the obvious, and he would have had to been in concussion protocol, passed the test. Lovey is always tied to the vest with injury, so we haven't heard.
Right.
And we'd hope to see him out there. I would just, based on the way a lot of those injuries go, I would lean towards we probably won't.
That was scary. That was scary. I hated to see that.
I didn't even think he was, the way he stumbled around, I thought he was like tripping
after
he got up after the play, because I thought he maybe like tripped on a guy and was regaining
his balance. Well, initially I thought, and then when you kept watching him.
But it's like then all of a sudden he just like made his way out to midfield and was kind of just stumbling around, and that was weird.
That's scary. Because, you know, we've seen, I mean, there's been studies of that kind of thing that can, you know, in the future, that's scary. I mean, they got to make sure Jake Hansen's good to go, and I'll always side on Lovey with that. I think he's always been somebody that will definitely make sure the player is okay to go out
there. It is weird when he says he's only, after the game, he said, well, Jake's one of those guys that's only had a few of those. And I'm thinking, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds here, but like, oh, he's only had a few traumatic brain injuries.
Football,
okay, well,
baby.
There you go. Get back out there, Jake.
Football guy.
You're only at 3.
Yeah, you're good. Mike from Sedora said, if our tight ends don't get involved in the offense, we're in trouble. Our defensive backs have to be able to cover. I have zero arm left due to shoulder surgery, and I could have completed passes against our defense last week. Guys, I want to ask you about that, kind of going off that. Cover two. Lovie Smith has made a career out of his cover two. And essentially it's more of a zone. You're keeping your safeties back. Your corners are playing more of a zone, not man, not on an island kind of man deal. And, you know, we've sat here and ripped on Nate Hobbs a little bit. And you look at it and you always wonder, like, maybe Nate is a guy that doesn't just fit that kind of system. Maybe Nate is a guy that wants to be press defense. He wants to get in a guy's face and be more on an island, if you will. I'll ask you, Derek, because you saw it firsthand. 2 years ago, Brad Underwood played a defense that did not do anything. And it was so obvious to even the casual fan that it wasn't working, that defense, that swarm defense. I'll still and never will forget Michigan State dunking the ball about 900 times on you. And the next year, now Kofi helped, don't get me wrong, but the next year, Brad kind of transitioned, right? He went with the flow and said, all right, I'm not going to be stubborn, even though I'd rather play that kind of a game that we saw a few years ago against Michigan State and Cassius Winston that absolutely terrorized him, one of the best guards I've seen in the Big Ten in a long time, and Illinois upset Michigan State that game. But Brad said, you know what, I'm going to evolve. I'm going to go with our strengths and change this defense. Lovie's not going to do that. And have you ever sat there and wondered, like, is he being too stubborn and should he evolve? Of course, he's the defensive coordinator. Purdue's got a brand new defensive coordinator, and it looked pretty good against Iowa. Is Lovie just too stubborn on that cover two to change?
We've talked about it at length over his tenure, and even as a Bears fan first, sitting there and knowing that Aaron Rodgers recognizes what the coverage is every single time. He knows where the vulnerabilities are. He knows what's going to be open. And if you don't mix it up, or if you can't get there with your front four,
right,
then it's going to be a really long day. Now, I would hope that Lovie knows his personnel well enough to say, if Nate Hobbs is a better man corner than a cover two corner, that they
hope
put their top guy in the best situation. Now, that's not to take pressure or some scrutiny off of Nate Hobbs, where whether you're in cover two, cover three, you need to play your responsibility at a high level if you're the top corner.
Good,
you're going to see David Bell. And there was even a situation, well, the first touchdown for Wisconsin where Hobbs has that flat and gets drawn in by the play action and the fullback goes out there and he gets beat.
Yep.
And Mertz throws a very good pass,
but
Hobbs
pass.
Can't
but still
allow that,
yep,
to a fullback.
Yep.
And also there were just some like in-cutting routes where I know that Hobbs has outside coverage. That doesn't mean that he can't get his arm in there and make sure that the guy he's guarding doesn't catch the ball.
That's exactly
right. That there's
right.
not a pass deflection. And you're going to want to see that against David Bell, because David Bell, we put a lot of focus on Rondale Moore. David Bell is really, really talented. And they probably have some other guys, the way that Brahms recruited that position, that we're not talking about who can make some plays.
Trevor, I think that was one of the disappointing things for me in Wisconsin is the defense, because I don't want to say it looked unprepared, but it did. I mean, there was a goal line stand where There was a red zone series where the tight end for Wisconsin,
Ferguson,
thank you, is wide open in the back of the end zone. Somebody has to know who's got coverage on Ferguson, right? And nothing. Then there were a couple of just right down the middle pass plays that Illinois had no clue on what they were doing, what they were covering. So it's frustrating to me to have a group. I know Derek Smith's new to it, but it's frustrating to me to have a group that is an experienced group led by a defensive coordinator and head coach and Lovie Smith that's been doing this for so long. It's so frustrating to see guys so out of position. It's one thing for every once in a while to be out of position. Look what the Eagles did in the Super Bowl, right, with that crazy play. Who's going to be able to guard that anyway? But Nick Foles scores the touchdown. That was just credit to the offensive gurus for that one. But to just run a play where in the red zone Ferguson is wide open in the back of the end zone, that's troubling.
Yeah. And, I mean, you went into that game thinking that the issue was the defensive line, if anything, and stopping the run. and you hope that you could rely on a secondary with guys like Hobbs. And obviously that was Beeson's first collegiate game, so he's not by any means a veteran, but you hope you knew what you were getting with him in terms of it was going to be something good. And Adams and guys like that, and it just didn't translate for whatever reason, and it wasn't even close. And I agree that it looked unprepared, but again, for me, the reaction to that is not, why is this happening? The reaction to me is that, well, that's the same crap I've just seen for the last 4.5 years.
Yeah.
So, to your point, I've never understood the bend but don't break thing, and I don't want to get too deep into the weeds.
Well, they broke a lot.
And I'm not a football mind at all.
That was actually one of my things going in, just bend but don't break. But
sure. And I just, as a philosophy, and I know Derek and I have talked about it with the Bears too, I've never understood the whole, we're fine with them getting 8-yard chunks at a time, but once they get to the 15, we're going to stonewall them. Like,
exactly.
How about we just stop them in the first place? I've never understood that. But again, I'm no football expert.
No, I get it. That's funny.
It just doesn't make sense to me. It's like saying you're going to walk the first two batters of the inning and hope for double plays.
It's like when guys go to prevent defense in an NFL game, and all of a sudden they just go right down the field.
Right.
Even though they're down to 2 touchdowns, they go right down the field and score in a minute 10.
It's like, well, that was pretty easy.
Yeah, now it's like, oh, crap, now we're in danger. They're going to onside kick it.
Right. Maybe just try not to let them do that in the first place. So I've always had an issue with the whole, like, we're fine giving them huge chunks as long as we get an interception.
Yeah.
And ironically enough, that kind of goes back to what you were saying about Underwood, right? Because the defense the first year was gambling so much on the turnovers that it left things wide open. And I don't know if schematically that's the same on the football field, but it does feel like if you're just so hungry to peanut punch the ball out that you're fine giving up 8 yards before you try to peanut punch the ball out, maybe something needs to change with
that. That's fair. That's fair. A 217 said in the News Gazette, and I didn't get a chance to read that today, Bob Osmussen, who has covered his team for a long time, suggested that Hansen is expected to play tomorrow. So that would be great news. If Illinois took the field tomorrow and 35's out there, that'd be incredible. All right, great breakdown. We're going to give our prediction at the end of this hour and what we think tomorrow between Illinois and Purdue, and it's going to be all part of a Hans D-led college football Who You Got. We're focusing on the Big Ten. I'm looking at it right now. There's a game tonight. I didn't realize. So we will get to Hans D, who everybody basically for an hour and a half has been waiting for. You will get him next. Who you got? It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
Hi, I'm Jeff Messman with Molitor Financial Group in Champaign, and would love to help you with your upcoming home purchase or refinance. Molitor Financial Group is unique. We have the lending power of big banks, but with a small town approach of getting to know our customers and their unique mortgage needs. Ready to get started? Contact me today at champagnelender.com. That's champagnelender.com.
NMLS number 1413211. Molitor Financial Group is an Illinois mortgage licensee.
Fighting Illini football is back. And although things will look different this season, one thing remains the same. Game Day Spirit is the best place to gear up to support your Fighting Illini. From apparel to drinkware and everything in between, they have everything you need to cheer on the Fighting Illini this college football season. Visit them at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign or 6th and Green in Campustown. Or shop online 24-7 at GameDaySpirit.com. That's GameDaySpirit.com.
Feeling stuck in a state of compensation stagnation? You know, another year with no raise? Then let State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw in Champaign help you get to a better state with a discount double check that can stretch your hard-earned dollars a little farther. He'll go through your car insurance to make sure you're getting all the discounts you deserve. Discounts that could add up to 40% and put a few hundred extra dollars in your pocket. Sound good? Then get your budget to a better state. Visit KurtLenshaw.com today.
You've heard their name, but who are they? Areawide Technologies is a full-service business solutions provider. What does that mean? Areawide makes it their mission to provide the perfect custom solution designed to meet your business needs. They can help you operate your IT department with confidence and excellence. Let their certified security professionals show you where your network is vulnerable, including their support in helping you transition from Windows 7. Give them a call, 217-359-8041, or email them at info@areawidetech.com.
Mulder.com.
Hey, it's Jay Lehman, former U of I All-American linebacker. Are you in need of a new roof? Look no further than Freedom Roofing. They specialize in residential and commercial roofing. They can completely replace your roof. They can also replace or repair your gutters. Freedom Roofing is known for quality. As a real estate professional, I use them for my own home, and I also use them for my client's home. They can be found at FreedomChampagne.com. That's FreedomChampagne.com.
Green Street Realty is excited to share details about some of their newest properties. At 1007 West University, it's The Den. Close to the engineering quad, these all-inclusive units feature high-end finishes. At 309 East Springfield, Icon boasts a great campus location within walking distance to the grocery store and featuring a huge rooftop amenity deck. Check out View at 711 South 4th Street, featuring an on-site fitness center and a prime campus location. And don't miss 200 Vine Street, Urbana's hottest new location close to downtown. For more information on all these great units, visit greenstreetrealty.com. This message brought to you by PDR Automotive. Fall is here in Champaign-Urbana, and October is an important month. It's not only car care month, it's also breast cancer awareness month. So ladies, please schedule your screening today. And to schedule your car care winter inspection, that can be done at PDRAuto.com or by calling 367-9481. That's PDRAuto.com or at 367-9481. Remember, they're what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR, keeping you safe out on the roads this winter. Tatman's Towing, the most trusted towing and roadside service in downstate Illinois, is looking for a few outstanding people. You need a desire to provide customers quality service with integrity and honesty, a commitment to maintain a more than 45-year tradition of excellence, a clean driving record, and love to solve problems and work outdoors. If you want to join the Tatman's team, apply in person in Urbana at 810 East Perkins Road or online at tatmanstowing.com. Tatman's Towing.com.
Tatman's Towing. I'm just singing.
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Can we talk about them?
Yeah.
Just north of I-74 in Champaign. You can find them online at appliance-world.com. You can visit their showroom either in person or online. Chat with an associate. Make sure to ask about their
10-year
protection plan.
That is pretty cool, man.
That's a long time.
That's a long time.
I was 12 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So
I was 40. Derek, what were you?
19.
Hans, what were you?
10.
Wow, little Hansie running out in his little pajamas. He's got the foot pajamas, you know, where his foot is encompassed in the pajama.
As the Dick Van Dyke fridge is being brought in. And now, 10 years later.
His parents have all the Christmas presents laid out, and little Hans covered. Comes running out. Ah! You got me a plane!
That's kind of fun.
Wow.
Anyways, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World online at appliance-world.com.
I got off to that. Describe your Christmas morning, didn't I?
Yeah.
Hans runs over and he's like, oh my gosh, the reindeer ate the cookie! With the carrots. Santa ate the cookie. Santa, no wonder he's fat, man. Think about every cookie he eats. And the milk. The milk's not exactly... I mean, milk's good, don't get me wrong. But
not in such large quantities.
Right, exactly. He's doing that at every house.
And are we talking like 2%, which isn't that great, or like low fat, which is much better?
Now the carrots for the reindeer makes sense, because those, I mean, they're doing some work.
Yeah.
They are working on Christmas Eve, so.
The whole concept is creepy, really.
Yeah.
Come trespass down my chimney and take my food, but.
But we're good with it, because guess what? You wake up and what's there? A heck of a lot of gifts. Christmas, baby. Help those that are less fortunate. I've always said that on Christmas, because it should be the best holiday for every child that lives. Make it the best holiday ever, and they will remember it forever. Oh, I hear the noise. I hear the music. I hear the sound. I see Hans D. It is time for Who You Got.
WWJUYA. Who You Got.
What? What did he say?
Did you say Yabba Dabba Do Ya or Dabba Dabba Do Ya?
Dabba Dabba Do Ya.
I didn't have you high enough.
Minnesota at Maryland, Friday night, 6:30. Minnesota's
favorite.
Can
I admit something?
Yeah, go ahead.
You put on the sheet Xander Horvath. This entire day, I've forgotten what his first name was, and I've just called him Horvath.
Xander.
That Horvath kid. Is it Xander?
I don't know, but I hope it's Xander.
I had a coach named Xanders. He was a really good basketball coach.
Oh.
Really good player. Anyway, all right, go ahead.
With a Z or an X?
X.
Oh, that's cool.
It was really cool.
Nice. All right, Minnesota at Maryland tonight. Minnesota is favored by 18 points.
Guys, Maryland is bad. How many games has Mike Locksley lost as a head coach? Wasn't he like 1-20 at New Mexico?
The New Mexico thing was really bad.
And he is 6-41 as a head coach.
Oh, my gosh! You actually had that up?
I was looking it up in the break.
Unbelievable!
That's brutal.
Derek and I are on pace right now. We are on par as co-hosts of this drive.
Think about how bad and frustrating Lovey has been.
41.
And he's 15-35.
Wow.
So Locksley is like a full 10 games worse than what we've experienced with that.
And you've got a gopher that is cornered. Not happy. PJ Fleck, that little sweater vest is going to be even tighter tonight. He's going to be like, I can't breathe. I'm taking Minnesota to cover the 18.5. Book it. Kind of like I booked last night Carolina in the -1.
Mm.
Blah.
If Northwestern can put up 40-plus on a Maryland defense, I'm intrigued to know what Tanner Morgan or Rashad Bateman can do.
Oh.
That's going to be a PO'd Minnesota squad after getting owned by Michigan.
Yes.
And I think that they hammer Maryland.
Okay.
I'm actually almost surprised it's this low.
I am too.
Because it's basically 17 points, which is two touchdowns and a field goal. Northwestern beat them by 40. And I think Minnesota's at least on par with Northwestern.
I think I have $26 left in my fund.
Uh-oh. I can't do it.
I'm putting all 25 on Minnesota tonight.
Well, then I will take Maryland plus 18.
Tonight is either the end of lawn betting or gives me some more to go into the games tomorrow. All right, so we all have Minnesota. Trevor's kidding. He's taking Minnesota.
Michigan State at number 13, Michigan. Michigan is favored by 21.5 points. Who you got?
Guys, Michigan State, I know they turned the ball over 7 times. They looked horrible against Rutgers, and I know that's not giving Rutgers its due, but Michigan State's defense, Rutgers like was getting 9-10 yards every play. Whenever they needed a first down, they got it against Michigan State. I was ashamed after a while that I was still watching the game, in fact, wondering what has happened to me in my life that I'm watching Michigan State and Rutgers. It's at Michigan. Michigan just stomped Minnesota. 21.5 is a lot. That stupid little half hook. But I'm still, I think, taking Michigan.
I have to as well. That's a ton of points. But I have to as well. Michigan cannot really, whether it's Harbaugh, Brady Hoke, or Rich Rod, whoever it is, can't win the rivalry game that wins the most or matters the most.
Yes.
But in some of these other ones, Harbaugh in particular has done pretty well. They beat Michigan State 44-10 last year.
Wow.
Beat Notre Dame last year was 45-14.
Mm.
So they're okay with running up the score against their other rivals.
Got it.
Michigan State's even worse this year than last year. I'll take Michigan.
You know what's funny, Trevor? On these big points totals of like 21.5, I don't ever think like this in the NFL because I feel like, well, I know they're all pros and like they should be able to adjust. But like all it would take in this game is for Michigan to be up 21-7.5. That's a 42-14 final if it stayed the same in the second half. So I just feel like it's easier to take the large points in college.
Yeah, for the most part. In the NFL, you're definitely with you. Even when it's like Chiefs,
it's just
Jets,
riskier. Yeah.
19 points.
Ugh.
And Derek brought up the Chiefs sometimes they're just like whatever about it.
Yeah.
So I don't love that. But in college, it is much easier for the wheels to come off for a bad team, as we've seen. And people
saw last Friday
seemed somewhat disinterested isn't the word, but
right.
If you're down 28-0 going into halftime against Michigan, the odds that Michigan State makes it a game are very low.
Amen.
Whereas in the NFL, there's probably at least a 40-60 chance that turns into like a 28-20 game.
Exactly.
Something.
Exactly.
So yeah, in this situation, I don't know why this line is higher than the Minnesota line. I would take Minnesota -21.5 and Michigan -18.5 if they flipped it. But I will still take Michigan.
Okay.
MSU's really bad.
Wow.
Next up, we have number 17, Indiana.
What at
Rutgers. Indiana is ranked.
Tom Allen.
Indiana is ranked. I mean, Indiana is favored 11.5 points. Both teams are feeling pretty good after wins against Penn State and Michigan State.
Hans doing the Indiana's ranked twice to emphasize Hoosiers being ranked. They're at Rutgers. I'm with you, Trevor and Derek, in the sense that maybe we're over-hyping Rutgers now all of a sudden. Indiana looked really good in beating Penn State. I think they're going to look good enough to cover the 11.5 against Rutgers.
Yeah, I think this is a good value spot in Indiana. I don't want to, this isn't a fair comparison, but I do think back to the Lovie year one where they beat Murray State and there's all this excitement. And then you come in for a game against North Carolina and kind of a reality check for Rutgers. Now,
that's a good call.
They beat a Big Ten team.
Yeah.
Like that Michigan State and Murray State are totally different in terms of opponents, but I just kind of get that sense where Indiana's clearly the better team. I liked them a lot last year.
Mm-hmm.
Penix didn't play his best game against Penn State, made the play when it mattered. They're a talented offense. I think they'll put up a high number and cover this against Rutgers.
John, what's his name? John Morant? Murray State?
Yeah.
Oh. Popeye Jones. Remember him?
No.
Remember Popeye Jones? Dude, Google it real quick while Trevor's talking. Popeye Jones in college, incredible. Played in the NBA as well. Go ahead, Trevor.
Slightly concerned about a potential backdoor cover if Indiana was up 17 late in the game.
Fair.
And Rutgers scored just for the sake of scoring, but I will take Indiana and the 11.5.
Okay. Before you get going, Hans, Popeye Jones update.
Hold on.
Oh, go ahead, Hans.
Next up, we have Northwestern in Iowa. Iowa's favored by only 2.5 points.
Ugh.
Northwestern demolished Maryland 40 points last weekend. Who you got?
Popeye Jones.
Popeye Jones averaged a double-double three seasons at Murray State in senior year, 21 and 15.
You kids need to stick with me, and I'll teach you the history of basketball.
That was in 91-92.
Were you guys
no
born?
No wonder.
Were you born then?
No.
I was born.
You were born. Okay. I don't like, I'm not betting this one.
Hans was a Dick Van Dyke protection plan away from being born in 1991.
Well done. I want to say that Iowa would bounce back. Is this going to be the weird year where Pat Fitzgerald like threatens to win the West again? Like where he's like really good one year and then they're like, nah.
To the point where it's not even weird anymore.
Right? No. I'm taking Northwestern to just flat out win this game. I just don't think, I think what we saw out of Iowa, and this could help Illinois tomorrow with Purdue, I think we're looking at a name that has been, and rightfully so, has been so good for so long. And when you look at Purdue that they beat Iowa last week, you're like, holy crap, we're not beating Purdue. I just don't, Iowa's got a new quarterback after 3 years. They lost four guys to the NFL, or three guys, and then plus their quarterback, Nate Stanley, gone. I think Northwestern's going to win this game.
This is a tough one. I'm with you. I don't think I can bet this. And there's so many just different factors that are pulling me one way and the other. Northwestern looked really good, but they blew out a horrible Maryland team. So
call.
I don't want to go the Rutgers way and overreact to a win against a terrible team.
That's fair.
Of course, I'm giving a lot more respect to Northwestern and what Fitzgerald's built. I mean, he's not in year one.
Right.
He's had good defenses. He's had a good running game. They actually have a decent quarterback. You love these. You say you do, the little betting stats that I bring to the table.
Oh, I love them.
So Iowa, the last 18 times they've been a home favorite, they've won the game 16 of those.
Wow. So not even covered, but just outright.
They've just outright won.
But Northwestern, their last 13 as a road underdog, they've covered 12 of the 13.
Holy cow.
So it's not a big spread.
What's going to break?
I don't know. Mm. I lean Northwestern.
Okay. Taco Fall. Good call, Scott. Taco Fall played at Purdue, right?
Huh?
He Taco Fall, UCF.
Oh, Scott, you're wrong.
Illinois played against him, right, in the NIT game? Or was he not on UCF at that point?
Wouldn't that be funny if Scott's text was like a week late and he's talking about the free tacos that Mookie Betts got everybody in the World Series? It's fall and it's taco season. It's Taco Fall.
That's a ripoff, by the way.
Yeah.
You have to go like at a certain time range on a certain day and you have to buy other ones to get the one for free. But I digress.
Yeah.
The 2.5 makes it attractive just because Iowa could win by a field goal and cover.
Right.
Whereas if it were like 3.5, I'd honestly be giving it a lot more pause. Just for the sake of
love
not,
that statement. I'd like to give it a little more pause.
Yeah.
That is a very solid
like
statement.
If it were 3.5, I'd go Iowa.
Boom.
But if when it's 2.5,
that's
I don't have
pause.
To pause, and I'll go Iowa.
Okay, you're going Iowa. Wow. Two Northwesterns and an Iowa there, Hansi.
Yeah. By the way, Taco Fall did play us.
He played did. Against Illinois, yeah.
Yeah, okay. 2017. He had a double-double.
Yeah. Wouldn't you have played ISU Kobe. If you won that game? I feel like.
I think you're right.
That's setting correct. Up for that.
Is that like in the Bahamas
or something?
Or somewhere, yeah. That's right.
That was the NIT.
Oh, is he, that's right.
But ISU won, and then you beat Boise State, and then ISU won again, but you didn't beat UCF.
Yes.
And so they would have matched up in the next round.
Good memory. Something I don't have. So I can let you guys know about 1980 and 1990 basketball players, but you have to remind me of things that Illinois has done.
Just happened.
In the last 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, Hansi, sorry.
Next up, we got number 3 Ohio State at 18th ranked Penn State.
You cannot bother Hans.
He doesn't break character.
He doesn't. It's incredible.
I'm sorry, guys. It's just my job. You know, this is what I'm paid to do.
That's why you're happy he's a pilot.
That actually is a really good trait to have.
You're happy he's landing that plane.
You can't break focus.
Yep. It's like, Hans, you shouldn't have gone through that cloud cover. Don't worry. I will land this plane. And you're like, sweet.
Yeah.
And guess what? It gets landed.
Indeed. And Ohio State is favored by 10.5 points.
I told you guys off the air, I do the Patrick Mahomes thing when I bet the NFL, is that I just, it's Patrick Mahomes, I'm going with it. I don't care what the spread is. I'm going with him. He's that good. That's what I'm doing with Ohio State. They're that good. I'm going Ohio State to cover the 10.5.
I think that's the way you have to go. Now, Penn State had a lot of reasons to win the game against Indiana.
Yeah.
Similar Todd Gurley situation where their running back gets down before the end zone. They could have ran the clock out, kicked the field goal. They missed a terrible field or an easy field goal earlier in that game. They had a couple turnovers. All that being said, Sean Clifford is not good enough to keep pace with Justin Fields and that Ohio State offense. They'll be fired up. Buckeyes big.
How much better point spread-wise is Ohio State than the rest of the Big Ten? Does that make sense?
Well, I think you're looking at it because arguably Penn State's the second-best team in the Big Ten and the point spread's 10.5.
I feel like 15 would be like if they were playing Wisconsin and it was 15, I would give, as you would say, pause.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, anything like 14 or below, it's just automatic Ohio State. Much better than everybody. Yuck. I just want to puke.
For the second year in a row, I think Fox wants to puke because if you remember, Illinois upset Wisconsin the week before their big game.
Oh, that's right.
Was Ohio State, Wisconsin. And now this year,
look,
Indiana
you, man.
Upsets Penn State the week before their big game.
Wow.
Of Ohio State, Penn State.
Isn't game day going there too?
I believe both game day and the big noon kickoff show are going to Penn State.
Really? There's two? There's two
shows?
Well,
the Fox has like with Urban Meyer
and then
ESPN has
game day. And Gus Johnson.
You're right. That's the Fox one.
Fires!
I do miss him on March Madness.
I love that. I would pay his salary if he went back and did NCAA March Madness. He was the best.
I will also side with Ohio State.
Okay. Hans, when we come back, Illinois, Purdue. It's the drive.
You're moving to Texas. You've arrived, but your belongings have been missing for 3 weeks. Where is the moving company?
A horror movie, book your move with a local move specialist at Two Men in a Truck. You will know exactly where your items are. Two Men in a Truck can perform expedited moves. They don't have long lead times, and they don't put other folks' furniture on the truck with yours.
Ew.
Move your belongings safely. Visit twomenchampagne.com.
Old Man Winter will be here before you know it. Frozen and leaking pipes are two reasons to call ServPro. Immediate action is crucial with water damage, and the ServPro professionals respond quickly and utilize their advanced equipment and techniques. ServPro's action to your problem? Inspect water damage, extract water, dry and dehumidify, and clean and sanitize, restoring it like it never even happened. Call 217-355-0077. ServPro, the number one choice in the area for restoration problems. Franchise is independently owned and operated.
At Bonnie and Soul, you know that their experienced associates have been helping runners get the proper fit for over 41 years. And during this time, Bonnie and Soul Sports encourages you to go running or walking or anything to stay in shape to keep you fit both mentally and physically. And at Bonnie and Soul Sports, they offer free shipping on any purchase over $69. Bonnie and Soul Sports is also safe to visit with all COVID and CDC guidelines followed. Bonnie and Soul Sports, simply the best at what they do, just off Neil near Curtis in Savoy. Visit them at bodyandsoulsports.com.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands, Inc. You never realize how much you rely on the plumbing in your home until something goes wrong. A small leak can end up with a big repair if it's not taken care of right away. At the first sign of trouble, visit LandsInc.com. While there, learn more about plumbing, drain cleaning, and underground solutions. At Lands, Inc., our commitment is to you, the customer. We look forward to having you be a part of the Lands family. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
Pizza Grill, Chiney Ogumi Cake. Catch Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Whoa! Drive, Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise, Hans D.
He typed up a lot of nice notes here.
He did, man. Why didn't you do that before the show so I could add something to talk about?
I gave it to you when you guys were previewing the game, actually.
Midstream, you're right. Ouch. But I wasn't.
But that is my bad. Yeah. I should have.
You know, I haven't even written down my score.
He's got their Halloween all-time record.
Just go through these. I like this.
All right. Okay, so obviously we got Purdue at Illinois. Purdue's favored by 7.5 points. Illinois' all-time record on Halloween is 10-7-1. Illinois has 22 consecutive home opening wins and fourth largest active streak in the country behind Florida, Oklahoma State, and Wisconsin.
22 straight home opening wins. Now, normally that's against
the footnote is it's Akron, yes. Murray State every
right
every time.
Right.
And they have an all-time record for home openers of 92, 33, and 5. But, okay. Of course, put an asterisk next to that.
That was playing against, like, Chicago YMCA back in the day.
They actually did have a Chicago YMCA in the Big Ten in, like, 1915.
Formidable opponent back in the day. Depending on who came to the Y that day.
Right. Get your boys together.
Right.
Get, like, up for the game.
If Tommy Two Shoes didn't show up that night, you're right. Like, where's Tommy?
Then you got to sub in Bill, who's, like, 65.
Tommy's got polio.
Tommy had to help his dad down at the bread store. Hey, guys, we're without Tommy today. So his kid brother, Nick.
And Johnny's cutting ice for the game tomorrow.
This is the best Hans D, 1 minute of Hans D we've ever had in the history of Hans D on our air. That was great, Hans.
Oh, thanks.
Minus the polio thing got a little...
It's a little dicey. Yeah, it's a little dark.
A little cruel.
Do you remember the last time they played on Halloween?
We've distanced ourselves far enough from, you know, Jonas Salk and the crew to can make fun of that, can't we? Maybe not. Not in a year of a pandemic, maybe.
Not too soon.
Yeah.
I remember the last time they played on Halloween, I think.
Do you?
It was that weird Michigan game in Rich Rod's bad year where Terry Hawthorne caught the guy at the one.
Oh!
And you won even though you were having a terrible season. I just remember everybody was dressed up.
Could you not say that a lot? Like, do you remember when Illinois beat that one team? We beat blah, blah. Remember, we weren't having a very good season. It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They run together. I think you're right, though. I think you're right. All right, Knox.
Well, overall, Purdue has a decent QB, Aiden O'Connell. He's from Illinois.
Walk on.
He threw three touchdowns and two interceptions against Iowa. And they're 5-0 against the spread.
Oh.
In the past five games.
Hmm.
Illinois,
look at you, Derek Piper.
Illinois is 6-2 against the spread.
What?
And Brandon Peters led rushing yards with 75 yards on 7 carries.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
That's cool for him.
Right. Right.
Josh Emotor-Bebe only had 3 receptions, 26 yards. But
Emotor-Bebe targeted 54 times, comes up with 3 catches for 26 yards.
You love to see it.
That's your Lamar Stevens shooting rate, right?
Oh, my God.
He's like 2 for 22, but he has 10 points.
When I had him on my Big Ten team, and after 10 misses, you lose 5 points. So I'd be keeping track, and then after like his 10th miss, I'm like, crap. Just shoot it every time, Lamar. It doesn't matter now. I like what you did with Mike Epstein.
Oh, 8 carries for 36 yards and a fumble.
Rub it in on Mike some more. All right, here we go.
Who you got?
I don't have Illinois covering the spread. I've got Illinois losing to Purdue 31-21. Illinois falls to 0-2.
Along the same lines, I think Illinois' offense will be much more competent and against a better matchup. Should move the ball with the offensive line, creating some push.
Yeah.
But I just don't see this pass defense doing enough against a Purdue team that's very comfortable throwing around the yard. 35-24 Purdue.
I felt good about Illinois just because, to be a contrarian,
okay,
after the week one, I feel like Purdue is a slight overreaction in the positive because Iowa's not that great.
So you gave this a pause.
I did. And okay. Illinois was a slight overreaction in the negative. It wasn't a huge overreaction.
Right.
It was merited, but maybe that game should have been 38-14 instead of 45-7.
Right, something. I agree.
And maybe Iowa is just not that good. And so I was thinking, 7.5, they could lose by a touchdown and cover. I don't know. The more we talk about it and the more I actually think about it, this shouldn't happen.
I know.
I thought we all circled this as a win, did we not?
Yes.
And now we're like, yeah, they're not even going to keep it close.
No.
I don't think they are either, though. I think 38-21 Purdue wins.
Oof. Randy just said Tua's brother's warming up for Maryland right now. Didn't that game start at 7?
Didn't he play last week?
I think he did.
Yeah, he wasn't very good.
No.
Scored 3 points.
The reason he's at Maryland and not Alabama. All right, Hans, great stuff, buddy.
Save us, Hans, with your prediction.
Hans, yeah. Oh, that's right.
Come on, Lon.
Sorry, Hans.
Well, as we know, Brandon Peters led with rushing yards, which is not good. So we need to give it to Epstein, Chase Brown, Jakari Norwood. He's fast. And then I think it was really predictable whenever Brandon Peters stepped back for a pass, it would just go to Josh.
Yeah.
But even with, you know, 3 receptions. But we just need to spread it out a lot more and get Luke Ford on the field.
Amen.
But I'm going to say 27-21, Illinois.
Ah! That's why we love Hans. Because no matter what, every Friday show ends with optimism.
Indeed.
That is important, Hans.
Gotta have it.
Well, I know it's the worst weather you've ever seen in your life, but I am Hans D, and I'm your captain. And this plane will land. And you sit back, and you're like, Hans is even like, I'm keeping the seatbelt sign off. That's how good I am.
Screw it.
You can get up and go to the bathroom.
Extreme turbulence? I'll just roll with the waves.
In fact, I just told Mary.
I hope there's not waves.
That I'm.
That would be bad.
That I'm picking up the next drink for everybody on the plane.
Yeah.
That's Hans D, man.
Like John Lester this weekend.
Yeah.
Yes, in like 5 different bars. If you go in and you say the first Miller Lite is on John's tab, John Lester is picking up everybody's first Miller Lite in like 5 Chicago bars this weekend. How cool is that?
That's awesome.
Kudos to you, John Lester. You make 30-some million, but you're also doing that, and that is awesome. And he's helping Chicago bars and restaurants survive during this time. I have, you guys know, a lot of respect for John Lester anyway. That just shot him right up the, that is awesome. All right, Hans, thank you.
Thank you.
Great stuff. All right, guys, we'll be back with Jay Lehman on Monday. Good show. Thanks for sticking around, everybody. I'm going to leave you with a little surprise as we go to Halloween weekend. Go Illini.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.